Most financial advisors follow the industry playbook. Elite advisors choose a different path. I'm Sten Morgan. Welcome to the Elite Financial Advisor Podcast, where top advisors share the strategies, mindsets, and the stories behind building a better business, adding more value, and the courage to grow through resistance. Because becoming an elite advisor is not about working harder and longer. It's about choosing a better path.
We're getting to know all the dimensions and all the layers that make up Mr. Sten Morgan.
I think I probably at one point tried to fight the whole other team, the ref maybe, a dad in the stands. You know, I was just like, people would be like, this guy is out of control.
There is freedom on the other side of discipline.
Yeah. I'm thankful for the wild, windy path from bouncing around from firms to having different leaders to, you know, not having discernment relationships with people in the business to saying, okay, what does it look like to interact with people but not trust too quickly? Now I'm being challenged by people really close to me to say, hey, Sten, you need to ask people for help. I want to take a minute and say thank you. Thank you for engaging with our content. It has been 5 years since we launched this podcast. And when we launched it, we didn't really know what we were doing. We didn't even know what camera we should be using. But we were challenged and encouraged to, hey, just get in it, get in the arena, start talking about what you're doing, and the right people at the right time will hear it. And it's gone really well. So thank you for engaging with the content. If this content has helped you out, I want to encourage you to share it. Also, please leave us a review. That helps us a lot. There's somebody out there right now that needs the encouragement, needs to walk with us on, hey, being an advisor is challenging. Here's something we're trying. That none of us should be in this business alone. And that's something this podcast, our live events, our community has helped advisors with, is that you don't have to do it alone. You can ask for encouragement. You can ask for help. And the good news is, as EAN, we are just getting started. We'll talk to you soon. Welcome to this episode of the Elite Advisor Podcast. It took a lot of convincing for me to do this episode, but a lot of people were curious more about my path, my journey. So Wendell is here today with me, and he's going to interview me. We're going to do a different style today. And my goal for this episode is to give you a peek into my path. I think sometimes we can look at advisors that appear successful now, and what we don't realize is the mistakes they've made along the way, the key lessons they've learned. So I want to share, and I'll be as vulnerable as possible. That's why you're here. You're great at asking those deep questions.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And right. My hope is you guys learn from my story and that, you know, I'm still in progress in a lot of ways. But because we get this question a lot, you said, let's turn into an episode.
Love it. Let's do this. Sten, thanks for getting in the hot seat. This is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. I want to start off by just congratulating you on 5 years of the podcast, right?
It's wild, yeah.
5 years.
Yeah.
And was it with Kitsis? That was the first episode 5 years ago?
When I was on his podcast randomly, I think the response we received from that launched the idea that, hey, maybe we're doing some stuff that other advisors want to hear about. Mm-hmm. When I do look back in my career, I was a contrarian to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of advisors, I was talking to Buddy Wes Young, we just did a podcast with him, and my buddy Gavin. And he said, all of us are operating within a system and most of us inherited it. Hmm. And so when I got to the business and I just started, you know, cold calling people I didn't know, trying to sell products that I didn't understand to people I did know and cared a lot about, I think very early something triggered in me of like, do I have to do it this way? Does this make sense? And so I think when I did that Kitsis episode, there was something about the way I was talking about the business that I think a lot of advisors are like, yeah, like I think we're doing it the way we're kind of told to do it, but I hope there's a better way. And that resonated a lot. And so, yeah, that launched EAN, the podcast. I'm still an active advisor, meet with clients a lot. But the heart for like, hey, advisors, let's hang out together and let's try not to repeat each other's mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I've loved it. It's been great.
When you look back on that first episode, that season, okay, for the birth of the podcast, the birth of EAN, which we're going to get into in a minute. What are some things that you saw and believed then that you might fundamentally see differently now? Could you speak to that?
I think putting myself in a position to coach other advisors, I think there's a responsibility there of like, am I equipping myself constantly? Mm-hmm. And so I think putting myself in that position forced me to probably go through seasons faster than I would have on my own. Mm-hmm. I like to think I embrace discomfort to a degree, maybe most don't. But I'm still fully aware there's times where it's like, hey, Sten, don't do that. Who is going to listen to that? There's enough people talking about that. And so EAN, hanging out with other advisors, seeing more of the landscape, the people I get to hang out with now, have on the podcast, it's really interesting to get the peek behind the curtain, not just in, am I surviving in my practice every day? Which a lot of us advisors, that's what we're entrepreneurs. It's like, is my team healthy? Am I hiring the right people? Am I generating enough revenue? Am I home enough? Like, these are all the things we have to face every single day. Mm-hmm. That when I was fully in my practice every single day in pure growth mode, I did not get to have conversations with industry leaders, influential advisors working at other firms. And so it's pretty cool how I have a much different view of our industry, which has only served to get me more excited about, hey, this needs to change. Like, the status quo is not sustainable long term. And so I think there was an element of when I first started doing this that I was like, hey, there's some things we can do differently, but generally speaking, the model works. I'm more convicted now the model's broken. And all of us as advisors need permission to do it differently or even accept the way it worked will not always work. Mm-hmm. So can the conversations we're having with our peers be more forward-looking? Like, what does the advisor of the future look like? Like, we're using that language a lot internally. And I think it requires a whole different skill set. And I think the industry, and I think this is true of a lot of systems, it will fight to survive. Mm. And our industry generally is not the quickest to change. Mm-hmm. And so you think of AI, you think of regulatory, even marketing is hard in our business for reasons that we're like, this feels a little silly, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think from going to there, there was an element of like, there's some things we can do better to like, okay, everybody, we got to wake up to this thing. Like it's bigger. There's a bigger opportunity and there's some bigger issues than I would have thought at that time. Mm-hmm.
You're calling people out, but you're also calling people up.
Yeah.
Right. And I should rephrase that. You're calling the industry out, not people.
Sure.
But you're saying, hey, look, it doesn't have to be this way. You're a trailblazer, right? You've pioneered.
So you get to hang out with me. So
I've seen this a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I have a context for this, sure. A frame of reference for this.
No.
And so, you know, helping financial advisors, your peers, in a lot of ways to say, look, you actually have the stuff. You got to just bring that out. One of my favorite quotes is from Gutzon Borglum.
Nice.
He was the architect, the German architect, the visionary behind Mount Rushmore.
Oh, wow.
He never got to see it to his completion. He passed away before it was done. And he said that the faces are already in the mountain. My job is to bring them out. Hmm. And I think that's such a cool way of thinking about some of the work that you have done to sculpt, to recognize that there is a shape, there is a face, there is life here. Your job is to bring that out.
Yeah.
And so I've seen you do that in real time.
Yeah.
How to charge live, for example.
Yeah, I wish looking back, I could say I saw it all along. Yeah, I think Michelangelo also said something like that. Like the statue's in the rock. I just have to like
That's right.
set it free.
That's right.
I think with my personal story, the result of it, you know, the Lord has helped me build a level of resilience that I'm thankful for. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wish I didn't have to like just run through walls and get, you know, beat up to get to the other side. It's like maybe just, oh, there's a path around it. Like be more strategic. So I think I'm learning to get the lay of the land better, but I have a very high risk tolerance in business. So when it comes to like hiring people, when it comes to trying new things on a marketing front, like I'm thankful for that risk tolerance, but I'm also having to learn, pause. Think about it. What's next? You can't do 10 ideas at once. Probably need to do one and then move to the next one. And so part of this episode, and I've gotten to talk to some people I admire in the business. Yeah. And from the outside in, I think at times you could think like, man, they're just smarter than me.
Yep.
But I've learned most likely they had some mentors that I didn't have access to. They tried, you know, 100 things and then one finally worked. And so I think there's an element of the advisors I get to hang out with that, especially within our community.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool to see the event, for example, when people come and it's like a 2-day potent wake up call.
Mm-hmm.
But that only just starts the process. And then in the community, it's just like we're all sharing and borrowing confidence from each other.
Yeah.
And the success stories we've had with advisors that were almost not in the business for very much longer to now the revenue they get to generate by communicating well, sharing a process with people. That for all of us advisors, I think in our hearts, we know, man, I hope this isn't just like a sales business.
Yeah.
But man, it really feels like to be successful, I have to be really good at sales. And because I don't like selling people stuff, it was a breakthrough for me in this to be like, no, there's a way of talking about what you do in an excited fashion that people want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way of building a process that allows you to deliver a lot of value and it doesn't have to feel as hard. Because I think the industry at times says like, what's the least resistant way to make money?
Mm-hmm.
Just get people to give you their investments and manage the investments and call them once a year.
Right.
Because most people don't leave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, that does work and you can make a lot of money for yourself. But even those advisors, I think if in a room with no microphones, they'd be like, yeah, I think I'm leaving something on the table.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I'm bringing my full capability to each client. So the advisors we get to hang out with are the ones like your personal income is not your primary motivator in life.
Mm-hmm.
Your goal is not to work 7 days a week. You know, I say all the time when I was building Legacy, I worked from like 8 to 5. Never worked on the weekends, was home in the morning with my kids, went home, had dinner with them. Because just part of my story was like, man, I need to put some really healthy boundaries here. But I also don't want to believe that by putting those boundaries up, I don't get to be successful.
Yeah.
I think there is an element to where I will not be as successful as if I was willing to work 7 days a week and sacrifice everything for it.
Yeah.
But I think for everybody listening, there's an element of like, I want balance too. I think we're all pretty aware of like, let's not just kill ourselves working. But how can we still get as much out of those hours in the most effective, fun way possible? And I think a lot of people as advisors in our business, we don't think of our business being exciting, creative, inspiring as much as like, we're here to provide a service. And if you need what we have to offer, you should buy it.
Yeah.
That didn't get me, that sales pitch for the industry did not get me excited. And I think for the new talent wave coming, because the average advisor is 55 plus, like we have an issue coming. We need to see ourselves differently, behave differently, and then like learn to talk about our job in a way to where it's like, man, I have the best job in the world. I get to help people make great decisions with their money so they can live the life they want to. Like that is what we're in the business of doing. But when I see a lot of advisors, it doesn't seem like they know that.
Right. Right. Yeah. You speak to a really important mindset shift that comes with work. Like you have to decide that you're going to go on the uncomfortable journey.
Sure.
The mindset shift doesn't happen for you when you sit and consume content, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Like you got to get in the mix.
Yeah.
My buddy, Sean Williams, he used to tell me this all the time. He would say, you know, man up, get in the mix. Like you want to see a difference happen, get in the mix.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. And so I think a lot of times, you know, time passes by so quickly because we are unwilling to make a change that our future self is going to thank us for. And so talking about, you know, so you've got a Clark Kent thing going on.
Nice thing.
Okay. You're welcome.
Sure,
but the thing about Clark Kent that we don't necessarily see in the movies, that's in the comic books, is he is a real person. He cares deeply about people and about very specific issues. And it's funny when he puts the glasses on because that's his disguise. Yeah,
best disguise.
Right? It's best disguise ever. Just put glasses on. We don't know who you are. But, you know, he fumbles and the words don't always come out the way that they should. He's a real person.
Sure.
Okay. You're a real dude. You have created a very successful firm, Legacy Investment Planning, multi-million dollar. Company, very successful. How did you tell us about this kind of journey and this transition from being a practitioner to being a business owner?
Yeah.
And how have you been able to manage that tension?
Great question. I think there's something I've tried to become more aware of. And this is the three stages of growth we talk about with advisors. There's awareness, understanding, and belief. Mm-hmm. I felt like for a long time I was really aware. I'm like, I don't think I'm good at this thing, but I think I'm really good at this thing. I'm aware that there's these factors based on my story growing up that maybe I don't naturally trust people. Maybe I'm slightly unapproachable. Like, I think these are things that, like, there was a season of my life of just kind of accepting, like, oh, these are tendencies I have. Mm-hmm. They affect friendships, business relationships. And I think my instinct initially was like, I have to change these things as quickly as possible. And then with my tolerance for discomfort, it was like, at all costs, you know, what do I need to do? The tough thing about that is I think then what's happening is I feel like I was trying to bend myself to every person I came into contact with. Mm. When in reality, like, some people just are not going to mesh, you know, whether it's team members, even clients, that if you're trying to be all things to all people all the time, you will feel in this constant state of uneasiness, you know. And I think all of us want, like, peace, and peace would be like, I'm fully living out what I was created to be while being willing to learn and grow. And so I think as a young practitioner, it was like business mode all the time. I want to solve problems for people. I want to be of maximum value all the time. When I enter a room, I want people to be like, man, like, we're okay. Because I learned I got something back for that. Initially, it felt very generous. You know, I was like, man, he's just doing everything for everybody else. But then I was like, oh, wait, actually, I'm doing that because of what I also get from it. It feels good. Mm-hmm. And so I think a breakthrough for me was when I realized the world doesn't need me. You know, that a great thing that was given to me doing some counseling and prayer and journaling was like, Sten, you can serve the world without trying to save it. And to look back, and I was like, man, at what age did I think, like, hey, I need to save the world? I think it was like 12. The more I thought about it, I was like, what a wild thing to take on, that, like, it's up to
for
me.
For a 12-year-old.
Yeah, and some good things came out of it. Yeah. You know, people look at it and they're like, man, that person's so committed and hardworking. But it really handicapped me as a leader and a business owner. Because at times the skill set you need to just, like, head down and win for yourself is not the one that pulls people in. A really good friend, mutual friend, Jeremy Kubitschek, he was telling me the other day, he's like, I can't remember what book it was in, but this guy was like, you want to be a fountain. And he's like, what does a fountain do? A fountain does not repel people. A fountain, like, attracts people. People want to hang out around a fountain. Like, a fountain has all of those aspects and characteristics of, like, what would a good leader or disciple be? And so I think, it was not me having this vision and a forethought and a plan. It was like life thrusting things upon me, really difficult things.
Yeah.
That forced me to be like, I don't think I can sustain this posture anymore.
Hmm.
And so I love in EAN when I get to have these conversations with advisors one-on-one, like at our event, I'll sit off to the side with a couple advisors and have lunch and talk. And it's like, man, we're all like looking for something. And advisors are usually entrepreneurial, you know, like we successful advisors have something in common, but there is something about vulnerability, approachability that I'm thankful for some really successful people around me that can model that to me. It's like, man, you're humble. And I remember people earlier in my career, some general managers and agents, like, you need to learn humility. And I think at that time in my life, I heard that as like, you need to chill out and just go along. And luck, fortunately, I've learned now, like, no, there, you can be humble and still be like kind of tenacious and edgy.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah.
So long, I'm processing this as I say that loud.
Yeah.
You can hear it, because it's a great question.
It's good.
But I think learning from like a producer in the moment for myself.
Yeah.
While serving clients, which looks really good. We have a great job where every day we get to go do good. Like, it's not like we're creating a widget that, like, if we stopped doing that, the world wouldn't know. It's like, no, you're helping people.
Right.
But like, what's led to me being a better advisor, because I can sit in hard conversations and listen better, which has made me a better leader. Yeah. So as a leader, you have to do like the kind thing, not the nice thing. And I think as a leader, when I wanted to be a nice leader, I just wanted people to be happy and I wanted to do what they needed in the moment. And that ended up hurting me and everybody else long term.
Mm.
So there's been this part of me of just kind of like putting the weight down, saying I'm here to be helpful, but not to save anybody.
Right.
That has, I think, created a better entrepreneurial leadership posture. Also, I think dad, husband.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a master plan. I think it was kind of being forced to the situation. And luckily, you know, Lord gave me some awareness of like, yeah, it's probably time for that to change.
That's good. That's really good.
Raise your hand if you've ever been to a financial advisor event that didn't really change you. Maybe the speakers were interesting, maybe you had a few good conversations, but when you got home, nothing about your business actually improved. I've been to a lot of these events over the years. Events full of inspiration, but short on practical strategies you can actually use. The advisor of the future knows how to clearly communicate their value, prospect with intention, and deliver financial planning advice clients actually understand. That's why we built How to Charge Live. This isn't an event built around hype or theory. It's an event built for advisors by advisors. 1,000 advisors have attended How to Charge Live, including advisors with more than 20 years of business experience. And over, we hear the same thing. This is the best advisor event I've ever attended. I want to personally invite you to join me at my office in Franklin, Tennessee this October for 2 days focused on helping you build more valuable business. I'm going to walk you through my entire process, how to communicate your value well, how to add value through fee-based financial planning, and how to create a framework to help you scale your business faster. Seats are limited, so visit howtochargelive.com to secure your seat now.
I've heard you talk about this with just a lot of self-awareness, which is key for anyone that is looking to be an effective leader. You got to have self-awareness, and you got to work on yourself. But you've recognized and acknowledged that you're kind of an ex people pleaser, you know, or a recovering people pleaser.
Yeah, still in process.
And so there's a thing that comes up inside, and I've seen this in a lot of our meetings and a lot of our ideations, where I can see the internal battle that you're having of, okay, these are good people. I want to keep them. I would like for them to be happy. I want them to enjoy working here. Right. I want them to know that they're valued. And also, we got stuff to do.
That's right.
Like, we've got to solve this problem. We have to see results. Like, I see it, and I see how, you know, sometimes it doesn't necessarily come out in the way that you hope it would. It doesn't necessarily land the way that you hope you would, but you lean into the tension of that. So for advisors that are listening that are like, I'm not sure how to lean into that tension, what's a word to them that when they are experiencing that internal conflict?
I think
I'm going for the easy questions here.
Well, these are great, man. And I love that, like, me and you have done this together so many times.
That's right.
And learned it. I think the other day we had a meeting, and it was really helpful for me to have the experience, because I can't remember exactly what we talked about, but I think we all bring stuff to work too. And I think there was an element of my career where I was like, leave that at home, come to work, perform. And there was times where I just had stuff going on that was just wild. Like, I look back and I was like, I have no idea how I functioned at work. Because it was such a heavy thing. And maybe in the most healthy of environments, somebody recognize it and they say, hey, how are you? What do you want to talk about? And that person just lays it out and you process it together in a super healthy way, and it brings you closer. But sometimes the work environment does not facilitate that. It's like, we're not here for that. Is it on an offsite lunch? Like, I think if those moments come, that's great. But as a leader, it's like there's some barrier there too, or boundary of like, I can't just immerse myself in your personal life. But what we did when we were talking is like, there was something obviously going on that was affecting both like our tone, our mood. And what I was thankful for in that was that, like, I didn't allow what you were processing to affect me to the degree that it would have in the past, where I was just like, well, if he's like upset, why is he upset? Did I do something wrong? Like, and then the story runs that it's like, no, like, he's processing it. And then I don't know if it's 5 minutes later, you're just like, hey, thanks for sitting in that and letting me get through it. And I don't think I would have been able to do that years ago. I would have been triggered into problem solving mode, or like, it would have triggered something in my story.
You even, you leaned into it to the extent of just, you acknowledge that there was something there, and you're like, hey, like, let's just like pause for a sec. Hey, what's going on? You know, like, let's be real. Like, we can be honest with each other here. And it was like, okay, thanks for that. And then of course, I definitely processed.
Yep.
Didn't quite, you know, come out the way that I had hoped.
That's right.
But it created a moment where connection could happen. You know, we're very quick to say clarity is so important. Clarity is so important. Being clear is kind. Unclear is unkind. Yep. Brené Brown, 100%. We agree with you. And we're grateful for you for making this world better because vulnerability is so powerful.
No.
But connection has the ability to have such a profound impact on the relationship, on the people, on the story that is being told.
Yeah.
And so what was cool about that was the connection that was cultivated.
Yeah.
Which then on the other side of that allowed, I think, for clarity on both sides.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't even think we like talked about the thing. Per se, you know, it's like that wasn't necessary.
No,
but I do think from reps, again, just being in a position and as a leader, being willing to go from like it's just me, and an assistant, which is easier to control that environment, to saying, okay, I have more people because to reach my potential in this business, I have to shift from like being a producer every day that does leadership stuff on the side to saying like, no, I need to keep my book at a healthy size.
Mm.
In order to have the capacity to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
And Legacy got to a point where I was like, my book is capped. And even though my book is probably a third or a quarter of what most advisors get to, where they have 1,000 clients or 600 clients, based on the level of service we wanted to provide, I was like, I think I'm there. I'm going to leave some capacity for one or two clients a month, maybe. And like, but there's a problem coming at some point. And unless I bring on people to help deliver our product like I could, which is our advice and our planning, something has to give at some point. And so I learned that partially from being part of bigger firms and seeing people create books they someday wish they didn't have. And then they're in this point where they have to give away half of their relationships. And there's a lot of head trash around that, like who's going to do it and take it. And so I'm thankful I saw that and learned that lesson earlier in my career of just like, don't head down, build something to maximize revenue in the short term and then someday have to like dismantle it in the future. But man, it's been challenging. I think a lesson that I've learned and I'm still learning is like there's seasons of getting to walk with people. And when I first started hiring, I was like, the only measure of success is that if I hire this person, they're here 40 years from now.
Oh, wow.
And then when somebody would leave for sometimes maybe my pressure or leadership style, but a lot of times it was like, oh, we're moving across the country or this, I want to go do something else now. That like the more intentional I become as a leader to where I try to call people up and encourage them, there's times where I'm like preparing them to do something else. And what's tough is there's something in my story about like people leaving.
Yeah.
And it's like, how does that part of my story as a kid not get triggered when somebody launches? And so the more reps I've had with that, it's like, how do you launch somebody? Well, man, what a great healthy place to where if somebody was like, hey, Sten, I think I'm ready to go. They tell you about it months in advance to where they trust you enough to say, hey, you're not just going to cut me tomorrow because you don't feel like I'm fully in right now, which I know some companies that do that. And so I think there's this tension I try to sit in as a leader. It's like, all right, Lord, you've made me a certain way to where I want to consider people. Like I'm not here for maximum revenue for myself.
Yeah.
But results matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what you mentioned about, you can see it in me sometimes. It is those two voices. It is show up fully. Be kind here. Speak the truth. Be curious. And then there is, don't be foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Don't people please at the cost of yourself and others.
Yeah.
I was having lunch with a buddy the other day. He started a company and I tried to work with him in like the first 3 months of it and it didn't go well at all. We actually had to take our business away from him. And we were having lunch and he was a little kind of nervous about it. He told me later. And at the very end of it, he's like, hey man, you trusted me and I let you down. I'm sorry. And my first instinct was, hey man, no worries. And he said, he's like, no worries. Like I didn't do what I was supposed to. And I had heard somebody talk about that earlier, that like when someone apologized for something, as opposed to like dismissing the impact it had on you, I did say, yeah, you're right. That was an issue and it caused some headaches for me. But I forgive you. Thanks for saying that. You know, and so There's something, the work that's happening in me, which I think starts with awareness. So I think for everybody watching this, it's like, what are you aware of that you have a tendency of doing?
Yeah.
What is like a story that's triggered in you at the workplace or at home? That like the first step is like, me admitting this thing is true is doesn't directly reflect on my character. Mm. It's something I've adapted over time that maybe for a season was good, but maybe now it's not. And I think that's kind of the theme that I've had in my business for the last 4 or 5 years that EAN, I think, has really helped. Is it's allowed me not to just kind of stay isolated and have these short-term results with myself. It's like I'm welcoming people in, welcoming questions.
Yeah.
It's forcing me to make decisions faster and recognize things quicker. So I think that's the lesson. Like if somebody was like, hey, Stan, what was the sauce? It wasn't, I had this amazing vision. It was all planned out 10 years ago and it's gone according to plan. And it's one of our core values, which is stay in the arena, you know, and a buddy, Wes Young, he's like, if you want to be up to things, be around people that are up to things. Like there's just something about like, get in the game, be around it, don't run from it. And I think that's something for better or worse. And sometimes it's definitely hurt, but it's like, man, you can't get me out of the arena. You know, like I'm here to do it in the healthiest way I can.
Yeah.
But like, I'm going to be tenacious.
Yep.
If you work with me, it's going to be challenging at times, you know, but also we're going to do some stuff that most people won't be able to do. Mm-hmm. And that may be for seasons at times. Like there's just, I think a new perspective that I'm learning that I'm like, yeah, that feels healthier. That feels lighter. And as a result of that, I think that means people feel like they can, oh, Sten's a real person, you know? Where before, I think people were like, what's your deal? Like, you feel unapproachable. And I'm like, I'm just helping people. Well, yeah, because one, I never asked for help. I did just solve problems. I did always seem like I was okay. And so to my younger version of myself, I'm like, hey, that made sense why you did that. But you don't have to do that anymore. And I think that's really, that's freeing.
Mm, yeah. So you were talking about this a little bit ago. And so I want us to kind of go to Sten childhood.
Sure.
If we can, if you're willing. Growing up in Oregon, all right. Some people in prose would maybe say something like humble beginnings.
Sure.
Okay. But that is, there are defining moments.
Sure.
In our childhood. Yeah. Okay. That development is key and it's critical. It's also amazing what can happen with that later on in life and how it can get reframed.
That's right.
Healing and restoration is possible for all of us.
Yeah.
Okay. But there were some really defining moments that have really shaped the way that you perceive self.
Sure.
And the way that you perceive others.
Yeah.
And so could you bring us into one of those moments for you growing up in Oregon, in rural, you know, Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Bring us into one of those moments and feel free to kind of start with some exposition.
Sure.
Of what life was like for Sten growing up in Oregon.
Yeah. I do think all of our stories are relative to what we experienced. And I've heard some stories from people where I'm just like, I'm broken listening to it, you know, especially then you have kids and you're like, man, just trying to imagine my kid being in those situations.
Yeah.
But for mine, yeah, it was fully impactful. It was all I knew. It definitely kind of drove me down some paths. I think a theme for me was the people can't be trusted. Mm. It didn't go as far as like all people are bad, but it was, life is unpredictable. We moved a lot of, you know, stepdads and different things going on that for my little mind was like, you can't fully control your environment. But if you give too much control to other people, it's going to hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Something's going to happen. And I think that affected me in all things. Friendships growing up, I never had a lot of friends, just a few close friends. Sports was really difficult for me. Because there's so much out of your control in sports, you know, who plays, what call was made. And it was, and I think for the young part of me, it felt like my injustice meter was really sensitive. So if anything felt unfair or I was being taken advantage of, like I would go into full defense mode.
Yeah.
And so I think, And it's a crazy arc to look back that it's just like, I'm so unaware at the time. I think when we're young, we're just like taking what is brought to us and trying to survive the best way we can. And then you, at least in my story, correct to the point to where you're like, I can only trust myself.
Mm-hmm.
Work hard so you don't feel like you're in danger anymore. That the whole goal is like, someday I just want to feel safe.
Yeah.
And for me, in my young mind, it was like, that's finances. Like, that's like, go to college, study finance and economics, like go where the money is, figure out how to make better choices. And initially the motivator was so you could take care of the people that around you that you care about.
Mm.
And so that motivated me a lot until you realize like, man, if all you do is take care of people, you're probably going to attract the wrong people. You're going to attract people that want to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And so that then led to a point in my life where I was like, man, I have to kind of reevaluate a lot of unhealthy relationships. And a lot of times those people don't like when you right size or correct, you know, they're like, whoa, the gravy train is stopping. Why is this happening? And then you have to be prepared to handle whatever comes next. And so I felt some of that shift happening of like, hey, the system's not working. This isn't working anymore. Mm. What made me feel safe younger now affects me as a leader and a friend and a spouse. And then kind of coming even more recently is now I'm being challenged by people really close to me to say, hey, Sten, you need to ask people for help.
Mm.
And as I've said that to myself, you might have heard it recently at work where I was like, hey, I need your help with something.
Yep. I have.
Like, to me, that feels like maybe some people are like, yeah, that's simple. I was like, to me, that's wild. Like,
do you die inside a little bit when you say that? Or is there a.
It's risky in a way.
Yeah.
Vulnerable. It's vulnerable.
You're putting yourself out there because what if, how's the person going to respond?
Yeah. Like, I have to be ready. Like, the gift to myself is being willing to ask and say, like, I can't do this on my own. I have limitations. Yeah. I need help. And for everybody listening, advisors out there, it's like, you need help. Like, or you will plateau. And I'm thankful now for everything I've been through that it's just like, okay, this feels uncomfortable. Definitely it carries some risk, but I do think I have more discernment and wisdom now that like, I'm not asking anyone, you know, I'm not walking down the street and asking a stranger, but it's like, for me, even asking my spouse for help is hard.
Wow.
I'm like, well, I've just learned to operate for so long, just kind of not wanting to be a burden to other people. You can only really trust yourself. You know, I'm the, you know, everybody watching, raise your hand if you were the kid in high school that did the project and just said like, hey, everybody, like I'll just finish it and show up.
Oh,
because what if you don't do it and it affects me? Like,
right.
And there's only so much each one of us can do. And so I think I'm thankful for the wild, windy path from bouncing around from firms to having different leaders to, you know, not having discernment in relationships with people in the business to saying, okay, what does it look like to interact with people but not trust too quickly? And that I think just putting myself in situations over and over again has given me more reps. So I think advisors are really courageous. They're entrepreneurs. And I think there's an element of courage that requires like, okay, I'm gonna one, be open to the awareness that there's things I can get better at that make me a better leader. And all the stuff I'm talking about has made me such a better advisor too. Mm-hmm. I think people feel like more of a calm confidence now versus like, I need to assert myself and prove my worth right away.
Mm-hmm.
That, in this new season of like, okay, and this is a challenge for anybody that's like, Sten, I'm just like that. Is like, can you ask five people? This was a goal I set this month, five people for help.
Wow.
And I think I'm at four.
You know, good
like
for
it's
you.
Like, and I have like 10 days left to do it. And so, and some of them feel small and silly, but I'm like, no, for me, that's a muscle that's pretty weak.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm similar to that. I try and, you know, every week to express gratitude to five different people.
That's good.
You know, really, what needs to happen is every day, because gratitude, I think, similar to asking people for help,
mm-hmm.
has this ability to create. In a way, it's like you unlock a special item.
Sure, yeah.
In a way,
yeah.
Where you get to see things come to fruition. You get to see things realized. When we put ourselves out there, there is incredible strength that sure. follows. That there is freedom on the other side of discipline.
Yeah.
Which I've heard talked about a good bit.
As an advisor, I'm always curious about what is the path that most people don't choose. It may be the most difficult and challenging, but it will get me to my goal faster than everybody else. So we are launching Elite Plus. This is the community for advisors that really want to engage. You get to hang out with me a couple times a month live, asking questions, trying to grow our practice together. You'll get for free our financial planning software that'll help you deliver a better financial planning experience to your clients. You'll have access to Q&A cohorts with other advisors, and you'll have a full library of resources. This is for you if you are ready to go all in. If you want to be challenged to grow, you need to come hang out in Elite Plus. Join the Elite Plus membership today. Visit gobeelite.com and experience the program that transforms advisors into leaders.
You talked about basketball. Basketball has shown up in a lot of your communication. You use it as a metaphor.
True.
You don't use it as a metaphor just because you like sports.
True.
Basketball was an important part of your life and your upbringing.
Yeah.
And so if you would kind of touch on how basketball has really impacted some of the decisions that you've made as a practitioner, a business owner, if you'd speak to that.
Yeah, I think for me, basketball is a really hard memory because I think what is inside of us is revealed under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, outside of sports, I was a really good kid. I didn't want to cause my mom any more pain. I wanted to get good grades. Like, I wanted to make good choices. But you put me on a basketball court, a baseball field, football field, and things did not go my way. I was a different person.
Mm.
And so I look back at the missed opportunities I had to lead a team well. At times I was one of the best players on the team, but I was never team captain. And at the time I was just like, whatever, coach doesn't know what he's doing, you know, but I was like, no, they knew what they were doing. And so for me, it's a painful reminder of not being aware and humble, not asking for help.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, trying to live, this is true as a dad, as a spouse, it's like, okay, living in the moment, because man, there are moments I just missed living, kind of just being in my head and always looking forward, that I don't want to repeat some of those things because you don't get to go back. You know, I know a bunch of buddies, friends that have sports stories like, man, it did not end how I wanted it to. Sports did so much for me. It was great. It was a escape for me for a lot of things. But I think today, as I reflect on it, I have to just be able to sit in the emotion of like, man, I missed that. I didn't maximize that. And so, yeah, it definitely comes up as I talk about things. I mean, I'm so thankful that everything wasn't filmed back then like it is today, because there were just some moments, man. Oh, I think I probably at one point tried to fight the whole other team, the ref maybe, a dad in the stands. You know, I was just like, people would be like, this guy is out of control.
Oh, my.
And so, yeah, there's definitely
I'm grateful for that, for myself. I'd be out of a job.
Oh, dude, yeah. There's some shame there in it and stuff. But as I look back, I was like, but it made total sense why I was that way, given what was going on in my life. And that
you
it
had a lot inside that you needed to express.
Yeah. And that it didn't come out in much more damaging ways. And so thankful for that. But yeah, to the point you were making earlier, I think there's a few things as we wrap up that if we can give these things to ourselves first and then to other people, I think it'd make you a better advisor, a better leader. I think asking for help is big. I think gratitude, like you mentioned, is really big. And for me, that's something that like I feel, but I have to remind myself to write a note to somebody, because man, that hits for people. Hey, thank you for showing up. Thank you. And the last one is encouragement. I find as an advisor, there's a lot of opportunities where I can be like, hey, you're doing a good job. That does not come naturally to me. I don't need maybe, you know, pats on the back as much as some people do. I can just kind of power through, and like the process is reward enough for me.
Yeah.
But man, I used to have to put on my agenda for client meetings at the end encouragement, because whatever reason I needed a prompt to be like, hey, I know we talked about a lot. It could feel like everything we talked about was like, how do we fix what you're doing? You're not doing enough good things. Let's do better things.
Yeah.
Which is factually true. But whenever I would pause and have the awareness to tell somebody like, hey, there's a lot of opportunity here for us to level this up. But hey, good job. Mm-hmm. Like, you're doing good work. And so I think those three things, like, if you can ask for help, that's a gift to yourself and other people. Showing gratitude consistently makes you a better advisor and a better person. And then the side of encouragement. And sometimes I see people and that just comes natural. My wife's that way. And I'm like, good for you. You know, like, I wish I was better at those things. But I think I'm getting better and it's becoming more natural.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. So let's land this plane with one last thing here. Look into the future. Okay. Yeah. So we've covered a good bit of ground here. We're getting to know all the dimensions and all the layers that make up Mr. Sten Morgan. Courageous moments, really important. You've talked a lot about that. Mm-hmm. On a call, you even referred to them as William Wallace. Nice. Courageous moments, as you were really encouraging and calling up these advisors in EAN, on the, you know, group training calls that we have twice a month. And so as you look to the future here, there's a lot of things that you are building.
Sure.
To quote my friend Sten Morgan, you are just getting started.
Yeah.
And so as you anticipate what the future holds, what are some of those uncomfortable places that you're going to be putting yourself in here in the coming days? And with that, how could we maybe even celebrate some of those with you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I don't have a shortage of ideas, which I love. I love kind of
so
brainstorming and coming up with cool stuff. And, I can be pretty convincing as well. So if you put me in a room with people, I bet I can be like, hey, we're going this way. And they'd be like, we're going that way. Mm-hmm. Which is something I've learned I have to be careful with. And so for me, I think the idea of having a parking lot for your ideas, like that my team will at times say like, hey, awesome, we'll get to that later. But I think for me, the simplifying of our offering, the simplifying of our message, that at times what I get excited about could often confuse people and kind of send them a bunch of different ways. That I think the uncomfortable moments we are in now is the courage to let the things we've worked on kind of mature.
Mm-hmm.
And why that's courageous for me is like I have to fight a lot of instincts in myself, but give myself an outlet for it. Because I want to create content and do things on the side, but it's not at times the best thing for the team when the team needs to be simple, it needs to be repeatable. We're rolling out profit sharing next year, which is uncomfortable for me because there's a risk there. It's just like, well, what if we're not profitable? Is it going to be on me? And that's calling people up to something versus, hey, I get a check and a bonus every year as long as I show up. It's like, no, that's not our culture. Our culture is like, we're in it together and we're going to make things happen. And so like, how do you navigate those conversations? And I have two young advisors I'm calling up to say like, hey, I want to get you where you think it might take you 10 years. Let's do it in three. But that requires me creating space to lean into that more so than just being a producer now. And so it will be this awareness, I think, of this season shifting for me of like, you're the producer, you're that guy, to like, hey, you get to now lift other people up. And there's something inside of me that's excited about like not being associated with the success of something. Mm-hmm. I want to be around it and help, but it doesn't have to be mainly my idea, mainly my efforts. And I'm predicting that's going to be pretty uncomfortable when I run into those moments.
Nice. Sten, this was great fun.
Thanks, bro.
Thank you for trusting me.
You bet. Thanks for the questions.
Yeah,
for,
man. Yeah.
Softballs.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Keep you on your toes, that's as right. you do for the rest of us.
Yes.
Sten, thanks.
Thanks, brother.